Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The 2-2 pitch.
Now, back to Cardinals open line.
A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the wall. He hits a slammer.
Sponsored by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, coming up a little bit later on this hour, 7:30-ish, we'll be catching up with the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko from Fox Sports Midwest. Of course, the Blues legend will talk to us about all that's going on now. I know he certainly, in his playing career, had to have dealt with times where his teams had injuries along these lines, and it's bad luck when they're all crammed together, and certainly it's been a tough run for the Blues. We'll talk a bit about how they can kind of try to work their way through this so that when they do get guys back, they're still in position to do something in the postseason. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in the hour. I'm going to get to, in the next segment, a little bit about why I think the Cardinals' rotation is undervalued. And I'll explain. It's a little bit – it's not a scientific thing. It won't be analytics. It won't be math. It's just more of a reality, an observable reality, something we've seen play out over a long period of time. I'll explain more in just a little bit. Speaking of the rotation, I want to start talking about Jack Flaherty as the opening day starter with my friend Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch. And obviously you find Derek on Twitter, at DGould. Now, earlier today, we did a Facebook Live, and we're doing them pretty regularly. It's not quite every day, but it's pretty close to it. Either a hit here on the show or a Facebook Live hit, either way. Just to talk a bit about the latest things in camp, and that's what we did a little bit earlier today, starting off with the conversation about Jack Flaherty being the opening day starter in Cincinnati.
The opening day in Cincinnati, not a surprise right. That it's Jack starting opening day there. I have to imagine that they gave consideration to Adam Wainwright. I imagine he's going to get the home opener. As far as ceremonial starts go, those are the two big ones. And, you know, they want Jack to assert himself as the ace of the staff, the number one. They think he's that guy. He thinks he's that guy. And, you know, this past year, I thought it was really probably telling that they were like, look, this last year was not the coaching staff was this last year was not one that's going to work against you. We don't think you were that guy. You know what? 9 of the 22 earned runs he allowed was against the Milwaukee Brewers team that
right.
may or may not know how he's tipping his pitches. Probably do. that was a nod to that. Like, look, you know, you're not being judged on that 4.91 ERA. We know who you are. Some of the things that you probably heard in that arbitration case don't carry anymore.
Right. Or at least not in this room, right?
Right. Not in this room, not in this realm. And I think the interesting thing about that, though, is what do you do with Wainwright, who, by many, many measures was the MVP of the 2020 Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's hard to find a guy. It's he and Goldschmidt likely that you would talk about. But what Wainwright did for that pitching staff, Kevin, was just huge. Pitching, he did the things that, you know, a standout ace pitcher does. He takes the ball when everybody else is exhausted and throws 9 innings. He takes the ball when everybody else is uncertain and throws them to a win. I mean, he had 2 complete games. No one else in baseball had that last year. And I just think, you know, some kind of recognition of not just what he's entering here with this possibly his last season, but also what he did last season was such a, is going to be something that's on their mind.
For sure. For sure. Now, I know that raises the question about how you would finagle it maybe to set that up or set him up for the home opener, which would clearly be, obviously it's a competitive thing at this point now, but boy, you talk about a cool symbolic thing, and I know it won't be a full house, but there will be some people there, which would make it that much more fun.
As of right now, yeah. Likely some people there, 8 to 12,000. They're still working on that plan. But, I mean, he starts game two. So, you know, do you want that number two against Cincinnati to be Wainwright? He's struggled there. He's had some bruises there against the Reds. Is that the matchup you want? Or do you want to, you know, hold him back and have him face the Marlins? You know, we'll see how that goes.
Not going to stress too much about it, but good to see it all starting to line up. As far as everything else goes, it seems like the news, Derek, and most of the time early in the spring, if there's news, it tends to be bad. But most of what we're hearing seems to be pretty routine right now when it comes to where the pitchers are, the health of them, things like that.
Yeah, an important step today for Miles Michaelis facing hitters, and then he'll likely throw in a sim game on March 1st, so next Monday. You know, that was good. The other day, and his bullpen was, noticeably not at full speed. And he brought that up. He talked about that, you know, it just wasn't, he called it a touch and feel kind of bullpen.
Right.
But it was clear that he was not, not going at full tilt.
So when you look ahead now, obviously a few storylines we want to pay attention to. Dylan Carlson spoke today. I thought he was really interesting today, especially for a young guy. I think he seems to be pretty comfortable and calm in that scenario. You asked him a little bit about, you know, what his views are on the leadoff spot and things along those lines. How do you see that shaking out in the spring with, you know, where they are? I mean, I think we have a pretty good idea, Derek, I think, of who the guys are that are going to hit in the top five, don't we? We're just not sure exactly what order they're going to be. No, I'm just kind of a half question, half opinion there.
Run me through them. Who do you think?
Edmund Carlson, DeYoung, Goldschmidt, Arenado. Like those are those the five in some combination, some order, most likely or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's right, but it sure has been, you know, the I don't know how to put it, the read around the answers that Schilt has given sure seem to suggest that Dylan's not hitting up towards the top. I don't know if that's playing coy with it. I don't know if they got something else in mind there. I have a hard time thinking that there's not a way that Dylan Carlson isn't a part of that 1-2. He's likely the future number two hitter for this team. And there are so many things he does even now that seem to be a fit for the leadoff spot. But Schilt's has really indicated that that's not where they're thinking. I believe the phrase, we have something else in mind. So is that Harrison Bader against left-handed pitching? Okay, that makes sense.
Interesting.
Is it Tommy Edmund against right-handed pitching? Oh, okay. I don't know. You know, I think it's a real toss-up for those first two spots. You know, it would not shock me at all if Tommy Edmund is one of those two, just because Schilt has really sought to do that. But the other one, I mean, it could be, don't really have a feel for that. I think they're playing a little bit of poker.
Yeah, I don't mean that I feel like I have the order, just the guys. Like the five guys that hit there. Because, again, you mentioned Bader. I think that's an interesting idea. And I know Schilt's now, I think he mentioned it a couple of days ago, but that idea of him against left-handed pitchers up there makes a lot of sense because he's done damage there. So maybe this is something, and this is the next thing I kind of wanted to get into. It plays into the outfield, and we'll close on this too. It plays into the outfield. It plays into something that Schilt said today. He said something about not really being a fan of platoons, but liking to play matchups. And, you know, matchups are maybe just a more detailed version of platoons, right? It may not just be left-right. It might be breaking ball hitter versus breaking ball pitcher or fastball hitter versus fastball pitcher. It might be very specific to a matchup as opposed to which side of the plate you hit on or which arm the pitcher throws with. So I guess with that, it sounds like the plan is going to be interesting in that regard, because that's what we've talked about throughout the offseason, at least I know I have, but what the Rays do, about what the Dodgers do, and how you have a few guys that are everyday regulars and there are others that are used strategically.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that before the Arenado trade was going to be What they thought would be their yellow brick road to more offense, you know, was to, you know, follow the splits and follow the styles. And, you know, one of the things that talked to Shilt over this winter, and one of the things he said is you're going to look at how players do against that style of pitcher, and you want to make sure that player is in there. You know, whether that's like, you know, you think back to like Jairo Munoz, right?
Right.
Tommy Pham, like these guys who hit high velocity. Be in there against high velocity. So, you know, Tommy Edmonds offers a little bit of that. Again, before the Arenado arrival, you had Tommy Edmonds being this kind of movable piece because he could be in the lineup every day in a different spot in the lineup every day and in a different spot in the field every day. Now with Arenado at third and Goldschmidt at first and likely batting either third or fourth or second or third, depending on how they go with this. You have, you know, these fixed points of the lineup, and then you have Edmund and Bader, and, you know, to a certain end, Tyler O'Neill's got weird like splits, so they're really, you're gonna have to kind of drill down on what they really expect from him. I don't know if you can really draw a whole lot of conclusions honestly from his splits.
I agree.
Whereas Dylan defies those, and Lane Thomas, you know, again, another guy who you don't know much about, but you do have a lot of information about what kind of pitching he crushes from AAA. So, and you can get a feel for that in spring training. So I think we are going to see some of that. They see that as a way to think of the outfield as a committee. It's really only been in spring training where the talk of like everyday players out there has surfaced. And it was leading into spring training where the Cardinals, you know, after doing the arbitration thing, talked a lot about Harrison Bader being their starting everyday center fielder. You know, these are things that they have kind of repeated more in spring after the Arenado trade than they were really saying over the winter about how they would look to goose the offense.
Going to be fascinating to see it start playing out. First lineup we get to look at will be coming up on Sunday. Anything you want to tease? Anything you want to tell everybody to pay attention to for the paper tomorrow or something coming up you're going to post tonight?
That's a great question. I wish I knew. Rick Hummel, birthday boy Rick Hummel.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, it's going to write about, you know, the announcement, obviously, with Jack Flaherty, but what that means for the rotation. There were some comments that Shilt made on the periphery of announcing Flaherty that revealed his hand a little bit about what the rotation is going to look like and what the numbers are. And Rick is going to dive into that. I'm more working on, like, what you talked about. You know, the fan experience is not just going to be through the radio or not just going to be through the newspaper or not just be on TV. This year, there's going to be some fans present in the ballpark. And what does that mean starting off on Sunday?
Should be fascinating. Always good to catch up with my man, Derek Gould. We talked earlier today on our Facebook Live, and we'll probably do something like that tomorrow since we don't have a show tomorrow. We have Billikens basketball here instead of Sports Open Line on a Friday night. So probably sometime tomorrow afternoon, we'll catch up with Derek from Jupiter again. All right, Bernie Federico coming up in about 15 minutes. Between now and then, I want to talk a little bit about the Cardinals rotation and why I think it's being undervalued not only by projections, but also by human evaluations. And again, this is not going to be an analytics symposium. It's going to be something a little bit kind of a little bit more esoteric, something a little bit more big picture that we should talk about. We'll get to that next up here on KMOX.
The 2-2 pitch.
Now, back to Cardinals open line.
A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the wall. He hits a slam.
Sponsored by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, so we're going to talk some hockey coming up after the bottom of the hour. So about 10 minutes from now, we'll be catching up with Bernie Federico, Blues Hall of Famer. We'll talk a bit about the rough patch here with injuries and the big road swing coming up. Essentially, it's two long road trips with a two-game homestand in between. It's going to be a bit of a rough one, but we'll talk a bit about what the Blues are going through and how they can get through it with Bernie coming up after the bottom of the hour. I wanted to focus a little bit on the Cardinals' rotation here, and I think that their rotation, and I don't necessarily mean this speaking specifically of the four or five guys that are going to start the year in the rotation. I'm talking about the pieces that they have to put into place throughout the course of the year in the rotation. But you know, look, the projections are not negative on the Cardinals rotation for the across the board. I mentioned the Fangraphs ones, which I thought were a little oddly pessimistic about the Cardinals starters. Now, I understand the questions, right? I mean, we could start with this. I understand where there are question marks in the Cards rotation. I don't think there's anything to stress about or worry about or focus on for Jack Flaherty. Barring injury, I think Jack's pretty much a sure thing. As I mentioned, last year's ERA was entirely about one game where he blew up. He had the nine runs allowed in three innings against the Brewers in that one game. And as Derek Gould just pointed out, there was some belief that maybe he was tipping pitches in that game. So aside from one game, he had a 3.14 ERA last year. So let's not overemphasize what last year meant, and let's look at the bulk of his career, which is two full seasons of being a really quality starter. So I feel pretty good about that. Again, injuries can hit any pitcher, so we always throw that in there as the catch, right? And we're just talking injuries with the Blues. I mean, if you get that kind of outbreak in the rotation, yeah, it's probably not going to go well. Getting back to the point that I want to make, I'm going to set this up by looking at the questions. I understand the questions. I understand why a mathematical equation, why a projection system, or why a human would look at Adam Wainwright as a 38-year-old now going into his age 39 season and say, all right, are we sure he's going to repeat what he did last year? That's a fair question. I mean, age is a legit question in sports. It is. So, okay, that's fine. It's a fair question. The question about Miles Mikolas, how does he hold up coming off of surgery? I mean, again, it's a fair question. When somebody misses a season and, you know, clearly had surgery, there will be at least a little bit of doubt, like, okay, what to expect? Is he going to be the same guy? Is he going to be, you know, healthy and maybe therefore better than we saw at the end of 2019? Again, fair question. Kwon Young Kim, question. Not too hard to figure out there is, can he do it for a full season? Just because we haven't seen it. Right, these are all legitimate questions. There are things that I think are good answers to them, but I can understand why, you know, somebody would say, all right, well, we've seen 39 innings from Kwon Young Kim. Do we know that that's going to play over 6 months? No, we don't. Again, I'm optimistic. I like the way he went about his business. I like the different approaches that he has to attacking hitters, the different pitches he can use to do so, even though he doesn't strike a lot of people out, or at least he didn't last year. You know, it doesn't mean that he won't improve on that this year. And actually, some of the projection systems on him are pretty good. We all understand the questions about Carlos, right? I mean, you know, number one, is he going to be healthy? And then if he is he the guy that we saw a few years ago? Is he the guy who had a 3.64 ERA and 32 starts in 2017? That guy was pretty good. And by the way, the reliever, Carlos Martinez, was pretty good. But it's been bumpy these last few years in terms of health, in terms of, you know, somewhat some kind of consistency as a starter. It was rough last year. And again, you know, a lot of this ties into health. So I can see that. And for those reasons, I understand why some of the projections aren't super favorable. And even why some humans would say, all right, well, I mean, you know, compare that to, say, the Brewers or the Cubs, and or other contenders in the National League, and you know there are enough questions there where you wouldn't want to tout it as a super strength, right? I think where the strength comes in, though, and this is the part that's undervalued, especially by projections, is the sheer number of quality arms behind those five guys. And I don't even know that it's fair to assume that Carlos is going to be in there. I'm just doing it for the sake of this conversation. I mean, Daniel Ponce de Leon may be that guy. Alex Reyes may be that guy. John Gant could be that guy. And Anisis Cabrera could be that guy. Johan Oviedo could be that guy. And this is kind of my point. I just listed 10 guys that are all pretty clearly major league pitchers. Now, they're not all necessarily 32-start major league pitchers. But that's incredible depth to start with. And, yeah, you know, once some of those guys move into the pen, right, let's say – you know, either Carlos or Ponce win the rotation spot. Well, yeah, Reyes and Cabrera and Gant move to the bullpen. They probably wouldn't remain options for the rotation later on in the year, but that's where you'd have Oviedo. That's where you have Angel Rondon, who was your number 13 prospect last year, a guy that, you know, has a big arm, throws strikes. You know, you look at his 2019 numbers. He made 28 starts, Strikeout to walk rate was basically 3-1. 2.93 ERA for two teams. That was both high A and double A. So, I mean, Rondon is a guy that last year would have been knocking on the door in a normal season. And he's barely mentioned in this. We've talked about Oviedo. He's going to be one of the big risers this year. He was the number 11 prospect in the organization last year. We saw some fun stuff from him last year. Now, he wasn't perfect. But you can see, you know, 6'5", 6'6", 250, big fastball, the makings of a big-time slider. Right? We saw Jake Woodford a bit last year. Not necessarily a spectacular dominant arm, but a quality major league arm. And that doesn't even count the Cardinals' two best pitching prospects. Zach Thompson, who's their fifth best prospect, who touches the mid-90s with his fastball, has a 60-grade curveball, which is well above average, has an above-average slider, four-pitch mix, college pitcher, first-round draft pick in 2019, who doesn't have a lot of pro experience, which is the knock, but certainly has a fresh arm and is a guy that, you know, as a lefty who can hit 95, 96 miles an hour, probably, and you look at his age, if he has a good spring, you're probably starting him at double A. He's 23 years old. And then, of course, their top pitching prospect, Matthew Liberatore, who's got, you know, the well above average fastball. He's got the outstanding breaking pitch, the curveball. He's a top 100 prospect, and actually he's more than that. He's a top 50 prospect in pretty much every rating that I've seen, and some of them he's in the top third in the 30s. This is the reason why I say that the Cardinals' rotation is undervalued. As I don't just mean the five guys that you're going to start with. I mean all of the rotation options that you're going to have over the course of a six-month season. And, you know, one thing we talk about with individual players is track record, right? Like, what makes us think that Mike Trout's going to be awesome this year? Because he's awesome every year, right? What makes us think that Nolan Arenado is going to be so good? Because he's good every year. He's great every year. That's how we look at players, right? If you have a track record, you start to get benefit of the doubt when it comes to how people view you as a player or how people look at your team when you have lots of players that have that. Well, I'm going to expand this and go a little bigger. What about franchise consistency? There's been no franchise in the National League, and maybe not in Major League Baseball, that has been more consistent with developing Major League quality starting pitching and putting together a strong rotation for 6 months than the Cardinals have been. They've been doing this forever. They've been doing this forever. Every year there's somebody new that you weren't counting on before the year that has a major, major impact on the rotation. Every year. Not once every 4 years. Not two out of every six. Every year these guys are helping out, whether it's the pen or the rotation. This is an organizational strength. And to me, that earns you some benefit of the doubt the same way as it does, same way it does for veteran players who have a track record. This is why I think the Cardinals' impact in the starting pitching spot. In a year where people seem to think that teams are going to need seven or eight starting pitchers over the course of time, nine starting, there's nobody set up better than the Cardinals for that. Nobody in the National League. I mean, maybe the Dodgers. Dodgers and Padres, you know, like their five are better. The Dodgers might be the only one that have as many quality options. The Padres have a lot of them, so they're similar in that regard. But this is why I like the Cardinals more than the Brewers and the Cubs and the Reds in the division. Because in a unique year, they've got enough weapons to get through. All right, more baseball coming up tomorrow. We're going to switch over to hockey up next. I want to talk a bit about the Blues' troubles with injuries here lately, the big road trip that's coming up. We'll do that with the Hall of Famer Bernie Federko next up here on Camel X.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Cardinal spring training is underway in Jupiter, Florida, and KMOX's Mike Claiborne is covering it all. Hear his daily reports, mornings and afternoons, and on Cardinals Open Line, sponsored in part by T.R. Hughes Homes, on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
That's Thursday night here on Sports Open Line on KMOX. Happy to be taking a look at the Blues, although it's been a little rough lately. We all know why. This team is a bit banged up, and happy to be able to talk it over with the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko, with us here on KMOX tonight. First of all, Bernie, thank you for doing this. Second of all, I hope you're well, man. We appreciate you spending some time with us tonight.
Everything is going fine. You know, I'm much healthier than the Blues are right now, let's put it that way.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I give Craig Berube and the fellas that are healthy, I give them all the credit in the world, Bernie. I mean, they're not making any excuses. They refuse to use injuries as any kind of explanation for what's going on. But, boy, this is one of the worst stretches I can remember here in recent years as far as injuries go.
I would agree with you. I mean, it's kind of crazy to see this all happens at once. Usually it's spread out during the year, and I always say, though, maybe it's better to get it over early and hopefully you get everybody back and healthy for the playoffs when it's really the most important time of the year. But this has been strange, and but the effort's been there, Kevin. I mean, there's no question that everybody comes and everybody's got their work boots on when they come to the games each and every night. But right now you're missing some really key people, and when you're missing key people on the offensive side, it's hard to score goals, and I think we're seeing that right now. I mean, they're getting lots of chances, but the real talented guys, I guess I would call them, they're the guys that are the goal scorers and usually score goals. So right now it's tough, but you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens as time goes on.
Yeah, I guess the good news, relatively speaking, is there's a lot of time left. It's not as much as you normally would. You know, it's not a full season, but when we still have, you know, one more game in February, but then you've got another 2+ months. So the regular season's going to go into May a little bit. So there's time for a lot of these guys to get healthy. And based on the prognosis of most of these injuries, the only one I think we know is not coming back is Carl Gunnarsson, and what a horrible injury for him the other night. But the other guys are all somewhere in that 4 to 6 week range that are out longer term, and then some of these guys like Parayko and Bozak and Schwartz, it seems like it's more day-to-day or week-to-week than it is long-term. So I guess that's the silver lining, right, that at some point here in the not-too-distant future, you should have most of these guys back.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, I think the scary part is that it's only a 56-game schedule. That's the problem with it. And they seem to be playing every other night. So a lot of games are going to be played the next 4 to 6 weeks. So I think that everybody just has to reevaluate what this team is capable of right now. And I think that the guys just need to try to stay above water. If they can stay and play 500 hockey, I think that would be a really, really good thing. And then when they do get those guys back for the hopefully get them back for the push towards the Stanley Cup, you have maybe 6 weeks left or 4 weeks left. At least you've got enough games where you put together a good winning streak. You're going to be able to catch some teams and put yourself in a good position, but you don't want to fall too far behind everybody right now. So I think it's still imperative, and they aren't making excuses, as you said. They're going to still continue to work, and I think maybe they have to change maybe their philosophy. They're going to have to be maybe a little more tight checking. If they're not scoring goals, I think you're going to have to make sure that you don't allow any goals. And so, you know, maybe we can need to get them back to that grinding style where they don't allow that many chances, because there's still too many chances, too many defensive zone turnovers that are happening right now. Yeah. And I think that's something that we've been working on in practice and things that they've been talking about. But it is very difficult. But, yes, there's going to be plenty of time left. But as I say, you don't want to fall too far behind the rest of the pack. And they've got to win their fair share of games.
Boy, and, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, point out the difficulty here, but it's hard to not look at this and notice they only have two home games over the next 30 days. I mean, you know, they got a long stretch out west that starts this weekend, and then they come back for two games against Vegas, and then they got a long stretch out west again that follows that. The next home game, the next home games are the 12th and 13th against Vegas, but those are the only ones until we get to, I think it's March 26th, so it's going to be, you know, going to be getting it done on the road. And you mentioned keeping your head above water. Boy, it's going to be interesting to see. I know some of these guys may be back soon, Bernie, so I don't want to be too panicked here. But, you know, when you're hitting out on the road and bringing some extra guys that don't have a whole lot of NHL experience as part of the taxi squad, I know you're getting into the point where you certainly don't want to lose anyone else.
No, you don't, and that's the kind of the crazy part about this. I mean, everybody is. I mean, taking nothing away from the guys that are on the third and fourth lines or the guys that are on the taxi squads. I mean, now they're being asked to do more than what, I'm not saying what they're capable of, but what they're used to doing, and I think that's what makes it very, very difficult. I mean, you move up the ladder, and all of a sudden you go from the fourth line to the third line or the second line, and your role has changed. They're asking more offense from you. You're going to get more ice time. Everybody wants that, but I think that makes it a little more difficult, and I think that's where everybody maybe starts to get the panic. Can are they capable of scoring goals as they move up the ladder? But I think that it's maybe a good thing that they're going to spend a lot of time on the road. This team has historically played very well, very well under Craig Berube on the road. I mean, let's not forget the Stanley Cup run that they played so well. I mean, they won three games in Boston in the Stanley Cup Finals, and you know, right now they're 6-2 on the road as well. So they play very, very well on the road because I think they simplify their games a lot more and they don't try to do as much. I think even when you're at home without fans, and when we only have a couple of fans right now, I think everybody maybe tries a little harder than they do. And sometimes you want to impress the fans more than you want to impress what you're supposed to do out there. So I think this is not a bad thing to go on the road. And there's a lot of hockey, and I think everybody else is playing a lot of hockey. So there's going to be other teams that are probably going to go through spells of injuries as well. So the Blues just need to continue to plug away and just keep winning as many games as you can. And I mean, it's a tough task right now, but this is a team that's got a lot of great leadership. I think Ryan O'Reilly has talked about that an awful lot, Braden Shen. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are good leaders on this hockey club, and they'll continue to do that.
Is there a danger, Bernie, from your own experience of, you know, when you know guys are out, of some guys who are the top of the top of the roster guys, you know, the guys that have the track records, is there a danger of them maybe trying to do more than they should? Or is that something these guys, you know, a guy like you mentioned, O'Reilly and Shen, like they've been around enough and they're disciplined enough that they can maybe avoid that?
No, I think they're already trying to do more than what they can do. And I think that's just common nature, is that you feel that you have put more pressure on yourselves. And I think that's what's happening right now. And what concerns me about that is all of a sudden you start burning yourself out because you're doing too many things. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly plays, 20-some minutes already. And, I mean, I don't think he can really is capable of playing any more than that. So I think that's going to be a fine line that the coaching staff is going to have to really, really watch. But I think just everybody just needs to pitch in a little more. And I think that they just probably have to shut things down more defensively. I mean, last night was a perfect example. You know, a 2-1 game, the Blues had plenty of chances. I mean, the end of the game, they certainly could have very easily have tied that game. But You know, it's really, you can't make any mistakes anymore. When you're having trouble scoring goals, you have to be so much tired defensively, and you really have to count on your goaltending. And, you know, Binnington was great again last night, but you know what? You let in two goals, all of a sudden you lose the game. You don't want to see that often, and especially here at home. But, you know, I think their goaltending is going to be really, really continue to be good. I mean, Binnington's been great, but again, you don't want to burn him out either with all these games. So Husso's going to have to play some games and play very well as well. But I don't know how long these guys are going to be out. I mean, you know, we're hearing the same thing as you are, Kevin, that, you know, Schwartz is day-to-day. I mean, hopefully he'll be back. I mean, I don't think Vladdy Tarasenko's that far away. Maybe he'll be back, you know, within 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, you know, maybe before that 4 to 6 weeks. Parayko, we're not hearing much about that, but he's basically day-to-day. He played through a lot of pain, and let's hopefully the rest will work for him, and he'll get back. But, you know, the game is never going to change, so you're going to have injuries and you're going to have problems, and you just have to overcome it and do the best you can.
You know, the good news is, I mean, if there is good news, at least right before a couple of these guys went down, you got Torrey Krug back and you got Marco Scandella back. And, of course, Sammy Blay, thankfully, had a false positive on COVID, because if that was a real positive, you could even, I mean, it could be worse, I guess, is the point, right? I mean, at the very least, you've got some of these guys back, which is giving you a shot.
Yeah, I mean, and you still got plenty of talent. I mean, we're looking at the depth of this hockey club. Yeah, now all of a sudden you're gone through the taxi squad. Now you're bringing up kids from the minors that, you know, no one's really heard of. And I think that's when you start going and saying, oh, what else is left in the organization? So I think that's kind of where the Blues are right now. But, you know, these guys will come back as soon as they can. I mean, everybody wants to be out there. Everybody wants to come back as soon as possible. And sometimes you got to really guard against that, because if you get a guy back too early, all of a sudden he might re-injure himself, and then he's going to get another setback. So I think that they will, you know, watch that very carefully, the medical staff, the training staff, to know that they're not going to try to rush anybody back too soon, because they're still, as we keep saying, I mean, even though this is February, it's a strange year this year. There's still really more than a half the season is to play yet, so they've got plenty of games to get back going, and no matter what happens in the next course of the next couple of weeks, I think this team has always shown that they've got an awful lot of heart, and they will continue to battle and battle as long as they can to make sure that they get a playoff spot.
Staying on that side of positive developments, Bernie, I've been so impressed, and I think we talked about this last time we spoke, but it's continued with consistent performance from Justin Falk. I've been so impressed with him offensively, but obviously, you know, in his own in the Blues' own zone as well, and now obviously looks exactly like the guy we saw in Carolina all those years.
Yeah, he's played great. I mean, you know, what a difference a year makes. I mean, obviously, last year was a transition year for him, and I think it's always difficult, you know, moving from one city to another, learning a system, you know, all the changes that you have to make, not only on the ice, but in your life as well. And I think it was hard on him, especially after coming to a team that had just won the Stanley Cup. I think that you even kind of probably feel more left out when that happens. But, you know, he's got the opportunity. He's really seized it. And now, especially with Parayko out, he's even seized more of it, because he's getting more and more ice time. And, you know, Parayko was another right-handed shot that would have played an awful lot of hockey out there. But with him being out, Justin has been asked to play even more. And I think he's been absolutely outstanding, not only defensively, but, you know, rushing the puck and joining in the offense. So he's done a little bit of everything. And I can't say enough about him either, is that, you know, yes, that's the way we had heard him. We didn't see him play that much in Carolina, but we knew that he was that type of player. And I think that he's showing everybody exactly, you know, what kind of player he is now.
And then we'll close on this, Bernie. I mean, they're opposite ends of the spectrum. But again, two guys whose performances you couldn't be doing without so far this season. Obviously, David Perron on the veteran side, and it's so weird to me, and because I still feel like I want to refer to the kid line with him and Berglund and T.J. Oshie. I still feel like I have that in my head. But David is now like a grizzled veteran, obviously a champion, and certainly a guy that is bringing consistency on a night-in, night-out basis. And it's funny to watch that be the case alongside of the development of another kid, or the new kid in Jordan Kyrou. I mean, a couple of those two guys really helping in terms of, you know, the consistency and what you need to get from the group on a night-to-night basis.
Absolutely. I mean, David is really coming to his own. I mean, David, I thought, had such a great year in the Stanley Cup run. I think that he obviously has really hit it off with O'Reilly You know, they're a great pair out there on the ice. And David is, David's always loved playing the game. I mean, he's a, you know, a kid in the candy store when he gets on the ice. So I think that he's obviously matured as a player, knows what his job is more. I mean, I think he took a lot of ill opposed penalties by doing maybe a few stupid things as his emotions got to him. But I think he's really cleaned that up now. I mean, he shoots the puck very well, and he knows how to play. And he's, you know, plays that in your face type of game, which is really to his benefit, and especially in the way the league is played now. I mean, you can't, you know, there's not a lot of penalties called. There's not a lot of, you know, dropping gloves and this and that. And I think when right. David plays his best, he's in the face. And I think he does a good job throwing other players off their games, but he's been absolutely outstanding. And yeah, when you look at Jordan Kyrou, this is a breath of fresh air. I mean, this is, you know, a high draft pick that the Blues have been waiting for to develop. And that's exactly what he's done. Being in the minors the last couple of years, he's not a big guy, but he's got great speed. I talked about his hockey sense, and I think that's what's great. He knows when to shoot it. He knows when to pass it. He knows how to get the line. So he's got those little things that makes him, you know, going to be a really, really good hockey player. And I think he's showing that now with being fit in on a line with Shannon Schwartz, obviously, and whoever he's asked to play with. But I can't say enough about him either. He's got a real solid future. He's probably got to get a little bigger and heavier if he can. Yeah. But he's, with the speed that he's got, he's one of those game breakers that you love to have on your team.
Well, I guess we can compare him to Perron, right? Because if we were looking at David in his rookie year, I'm sure I said the very same thing. Like, oh, he's going to be an interesting guy if he can add a little weight, gain some strength, and maybe figure out to move the puck a little quicker and not play around with it so much. And look at him now.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with Jordan is that, I mean, he is a lot faster, I think, than David was. And I think David will never be that fast. And I think the speed that Jordan has, I think, is really going to be to his advantage, obviously. And really, I know that he's spent a lot of time after practices working with Vladdy Tarasenko, too, now, with quick release, get the puck away. And you know, with Vladdy not that far away from coming back, I think that, obviously, Jordan's going to continue to learn more and more.
Well, we'll just hang on for the ride, right? Grab onto the handles and get through this rough part, because I do think there's some fun coming at the end of the year when we can get everybody back into the lineup at some point. Just hopefully it'll be sooner.
Yeah, that's the extent of it, Kevin. That's exactly what. I mean, I think this is a treading water stage right now.
Right.
You know, obviously, no one likes to lose, and this team is not used to losing. So, I mean, there's a lot of character in that locker room. You know, I know the Chief is a great coach, too. He'll get the guys motivated. So I think we just have to do is take that one day at a time and hope that they get it together. Because even if they don't now, they're not going to fall that far behind. That they've got a plenty of talent that, you know, when it's time, that they'll be able to rebound with it.
Bernie, we always love talking with you, man. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it when you've got it to share with us. Enjoy the run, and hopefully we'll just get everybody healthy back and we can see the team that I think we all expect to see coming up later on in the year.
Well, sounds great, Kevin. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Bernie, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
It's always a great day when I get to talk a little hockey with the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko. And, you know, I'll follow up on this next up, because I don't want to spend too much time here and push this too much. And this is kind of your tease for the last segment here. I still like this team's chances for a playoff run. I mean, things have to happen. I mean, you got to get guys back, and hopefully when they're back, they get to a point where they're 100%. We'll get into that next up, because I do think that even though it's been bad here lately and you got everybody hurt and all that, if this team is healthy or even close to 100% come playoff time, I think they're dangerous. We'll get to that next up here on KMOX.
The 2-2 pitch.
Now, back to Cardinals open line.
A swing and a long drive.
Sponsored by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on that last segment. Obviously, you know, Bernie Federko and I talking a bit about this latest problem with the, you know, all these injuries. I still really like this team for a playoff run. And, you know, they haven't been really 100% for a long time. I mean, you know, Tyler Bozak's been out a month. You know, before Colton Parayko was out, he was playing hurt. And, you know, during some of that time, Torrey Krug was missing games and Scandella missed a bunch of games. I mean, they've been banged up a good bit. You haven't had Vlad at all, which we knew coming in. But, I mean, I'm not going to be stressing out about the Blues until we get – either closer to the playoffs where there's some doubt? Because I do think part of the risk, and it's what Bernie was getting at in the last segment, is you're treading water so that you're in the hunt so that when you do get your guys back, you can establish a playoff spot. Because I think getting in is going to be good enough to have a chance to make a run if you get most of your guys back, like if you can be healthy. And that, you know, that's a big if. I mean, you know, there are a lot of guys out, but as I mentioned, you've got 2 weeks, 2 months plus another week. So reality is, I think you're looking at like 9-10 weeks. I think it's nine or 10 weeks before the end of the season. And you're getting most of the guys back that we're talking about within the next month, right? I mean, we're now down to like 4 weeks for Robert Thomas to be kind of reevaluated. It sounds like Vlad is getting close. It might be in the next few weeks. We know it's going to be a while. We know Gunnarsson's out, for example, but you know, we know it's going to be a bit of a wait. And what you have to hope now is that nobody else is going to get hurt. That's kind of the number one thing, that you can't really afford anyone else to go out. But, you know, I think what you've shown so far is that you've been good enough to hang tight. I mean, I think you do need to play, you know, 500-ish hockey. You got to find a way to squeeze out a couple of games, even with a thinner roster. Maybe Binnington can steal you a few more, because I really like the way that he's played this year. In fact, I think he's played better than his numbers say, and his numbers are actually pretty good. I love the emergence of Justin Falk. I think, you know, when if you can get, and I know there's some doubt, right? We don't know exactly how long this is going to be a problem for Parayko. It may be something rest recovers from. It may be problems beyond that. So, I don't want to assume that everything's going to be healthy, but until we get to the point where you're in trouble and you're hosed like late in the year and guys aren't healthy, well, I'm not going to stress out now. I'm certainly not going to be overly critical of a super shorthanded team losing a bunch of close games. They are going to need to squeeze out some points, and I think they will. I think they'll kind of manage their way through these next few weeks, and as you start to get guys back, hopefully you can go on a little bit of a run and be ready for the postseason. Hey, many thanks to Bernie Federko and Derek Gould. Also thanks to Tom Ackerman and Nolan Arenado. Great to hear from them both from the Garage Happy Hour earlier in the show today. Have a good night, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on KMOX.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.